And we welcome you to another Teague Bible Church podcast with Pastor, Teacher, Jim Petty. May the Spirit of God minister to you through the message from the Word of God.
We come to this time of the year every year and we want to see that miracle. We want to see Jesus walk out of the tomb. We want to see what Mary saw. We want to see that mighty angel sitting on the stone. We want to see the two angels in the tomb going, "What in the heck are you doing here? What makes you think he's here?" But you know, we have something much better. Because that happened, we have a relationship. And we think about celebrations. I've been doing a lot of studying in the Old Testament. And the Passover. You know, God set up the Passover. Set it up in Egypt to lead the Israelites out of bondage. And he told them, he said, "All right, go in, sacrifice the Passover lamb, take the blood, put it on the lintels, on the doorposts of your house. And then the angel of death will pass over you and leave you alone. And what I want you to do is, from this time forth, I want you to celebrate." He didn't say, "Have a solemn assembly." He said, "I want you to celebrate the Passover and explain to your children what it means." And so, Jesus came. He came and he lived his life, taught his disciples, appointed the apostles, and then came the Last Supper. The Last Supper, it was Passover. It was a Seder meal. They sat down to eat. When he took the bread and broke it and said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he was setting up the new covenant. He knew he was about to fulfill the old covenant. And so when he took the cup after supper and said, "Here, take this drink. Do this in remembrance of me. For this is the blood of the new covenant." He didn't tell us, he didn't give us this pie in the sky something. He said, "I'm giving you the new Passover. Because this blood will mean death is just going to pass over you. Because you're not going to die. Oh yeah, this body's going to stop. Honey, some nights it stops a lot sooner than others, but it's going to stop. But there's no spiritual death." See, Israel was just a shadow. We only have one Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. And when he sacrificed his blood on that cross, when he shed his blood for us on that cross, he opened up a bridge to God. He opened up a relationship for all of us. And so we celebrate Christian Passover, the new Passover. And it's a celebration. When we do this in remembrance of him, we proclaim his death until he comes back, right? But it's not sad. It's not solemn. Oh my gosh. He just purchased for us eternal life. Do you honestly think the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be this? Okay, guys, don't anybody smile. Well, y'all get in here, behave. Jimmy, quit that. Stop, Jimmy. Just sit down. You know, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be like Jimmy's had three cups of coffee, all with caffeine. That's what it's going to be like. It's going to be free. And it's going to be a celebration. You know, we think sometimes that when we remember what God did for us, it does cause us sadness. And it should. But that should be in our private closets. That should be in our private prayer times where we're sitting there talking to God and we realize how far we fall short of that standard. That's in that private time. When we come for Resurrection Sunday, for our Passover, it should be a great celebration. It should be a happy occasion. It should be one of those things that it just should shine out of your face, the joy of salvation. We're not in this anymore. In 1 Corinthians 11, which Jimmy reads to us all the time when we're doing the Lord's Supper, 23 through 26, it says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" So, wait a minute. We don't have to just do it yearly. Right here. As often as you do it. That's right. We can celebrate all year long. I mean, when we really start to think about what God has done for us, about how he hung on the cross, you do realize that they couldn't kill Jesus, right? The power of death had no power over him. Why? Because he hadn't sinned. The wages of sin is death. So if you don't sin, you don't die. There's only been one person ever that's walked this earth that was sinless. It was Jesus. So to get up on the cross and to die, he had to allow it. Because that's the only way it could happen. Now, him allowing it, he created a sacrifice. Sacrifice for us through his blood. So, when we read Matthew 28, it says, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran and grasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." You know, these disciples, they were in grief. Like I said in the video, their hearts were empty. They were grieving. The person they thought was going to set them free, what they didn't understand was what had to happen, was killed. How can you kill the Messiah? And so they were just grieving because the man they had loved was dead. And yet, what happens to these women? After they see the angel, and are you impressed that the disciples see the angel? They didn't faint. Those soldiers over there, those tough men, those guys who march in to the teeth of death, they're all laying on top of each other over there, fainted, dead, fainted away. These women, they may be on their knees. They haven't fainted. And their hearts, they're scared to death. Because that's what happens when you see an angel. Just saying. But all of a sudden, their hearts are full of something. Full of joy. Full of joy that Jesus is not dead. And so, you know, when death is swallowed up with life, what happens to grief? It turns to joy. In Luke 24, 36 through 43, it says, this is after the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and they come back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, "Hey, we saw the Lord." It says, "Now, while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you frightened? And why are doubts arising in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you plainly see that I have.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they could not believe it because of their joy and astonishment, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' And they served him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them." Again, a group that They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe the two guys from Emmaus. But they're starting to realize something's happened. And Jesus is, all of a sudden, he's there. Now, being so astonished that, okay, my brain is overloaded. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. But my heart is full. Oh my gosh. That grief is gone. And what's there is joy. How many times does God have to pay for your sin? Once for all times. We're not in the system where once a year we have to go for the Day of Atonement and sacrifice the lamb to cover our sins for that year. We don't have to go on the new moon festivals. We don't have to go on the Sabbaths and sacrifice for our sins. And you notice, Jesus wasn't crucified on the atonement, Day of Atonement. He was crucified during Passover because he is our Passover lamb. We don't celebrate we don't celebrate something that wasn't already established. Right now, Jews everywhere are getting ready for Passover. They're just missing part of the picture. We should get ready for Passover too. But our Passover is very different. We don't have to leave a vacant chair for Elijah. Because our Savior's here. Our Savior's here already. He has already done all the work. He got up on the third day, left the tomb. You know, and so getting to teach youth, it's a blessing and a curse, right? And it's one of those things where you're trying to impart some knowledge, some wisdom, and their question is, oh, so Jesus walked out when he rolled away the stone, right? No. How'd he get out then? How did he appear in their midst? Didn't he just come through the door? And so you think Jesus is going on a bus line somewhere, going around to these different places? He's just stepping into where he wants to step. He walked out of the tomb. The angel was sent to roll away the stone for the women who were coming and for the two disciples that would go look, for the two apostles that would go look in the empty tomb. That's what he was sent for. That was his job. And of course, to scare the soldiers. Because when the soldiers wake up, they're gone. They're gone. So when we sit here and we look at this and we think, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What is there to be afraid of in the world? You know, Our Passover's happened. We've put on our sandals and picked up our walking sticks, and we're in the wilderness, guys. We haven't made it to the promised land. The promised land is our hope. We're in the wilderness. And we're not in the wilderness like the children of Israel were. We're not in the wilderness because God is testing us. He is testing us. But our purpose is we're walking through the wilderness of this world so that we can get others out of bondage, so that we can introduce others to Jesus Christ, and so that we can become and have a better and better relationship with God. You know, we really think that, you know, well, God did a new thing. All that Old Testament stuff is gone. Then why did he bother to write it? Why did he bother to record all that for us and to keep it all for us if it's irrelevant? Oh my gosh. He painted so many pictures for us. He did so much to let us see his character. We talked about it this morning, that he knew Sodom and Gomorrah was steeped in evil. And yet, he walked up and gave them one more opportunity to repent. What kind of God does that? What kind of God gives you one more opportunity? God full of loving kindness. A God who's willing to go sacrifice himself so he can have a relationship with you. We're sitting here. We are Israel now. But our covenant is much better than the law of Moses, because we fulfill the law through what Jesus Christ has done for us. His righteousness is imparted to us. So we walk in that righteousness. So, yeah, joy. The world is so concerned with being happy. Yeah. Happiness, it's one of those transient things, you know, that it comes and goes. But joy? Joy is there. Joy is what happens when you pick up your grandchild for the first time. Joy is what happens when you let all the world go and just bask in the glory of God. Joy is what happens when you let God take away all the pain and you just rely on him. Joy is what happens when one of the most terrible things that could happen has happened to you. And yet, God hasn't abandoned you. And his presence is there with you. And he's given you his strength. You know, how many people go through cancer, survive it, and then tell you, well, those doctors were really good. Those doctors were really good. Handfuls. But you know what I hear most? Man, God really directed that healing. God healed me. And God gave me a peace during this. You know, the neatest thing I've ever seen is somebody in stage 4 cancer. She's up cooking for the people who came to comfort her. Isn't this backwards? Shouldn't they be cooking for her? And instead of them comforting her, she's comforting them. I mean, we saw it right here in this church. Watch Lana just minister to folks right and left. Her hope wasn't in the doctors. Her hope wasn't in the medicine. Her hope was in God. And so that joy that she had came out that way. So when you think about Resurrection Sunday, Passover Sunday, know that God established that. Looked down through those ages. Saw when he was going to fulfill it. Painted a beautiful picture for us. And then let us walk in it. So today, it's not a day of mourning. It's a day of celebration. And I know that we are saddened at what happened on the cross. But like I said, that's personal. That's you and God alone together. So, try to walk in that joy. And what you'll see is this world is not quite as scary. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear overcome you. Let God fill you. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that you stood up and walked out of the grave. Because, Father, you finished purchasing us. That you paid the price we couldn't pay. So that we could have a relationship with you. Father, you've given us your joy so that our joy might be complete. Help us to walk in that joy. Help us to put aside fear. Help us to walk in your salvation as we move through this wilderness. Father, anoint us for your work. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message helps you grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You may contact us through our website, teagbiblechurch.org, T-E-A-G-U-E, BibleChurch.org, or our mailing address is P.O. Box 827, Teague, Texas 75860.